Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy. 15 minutes away from the AMA. The phone lines will be open, 404-726-0929. All you got to do is call and ask us anything. We will do our best to answer as we do every day to wrap the show up. Final hour of the show brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Book an appointment for a convenient time at ReliableAir.com. And this time on Tuesdays, every single week, Brandon Adams joins us, host of the Dog Nation Daily Podcast. And like there's people that I always think of during Georgia games and when Georgia wins. Randy, obviously, you're on that list as well. And I would have just, like, a live cam on Brandon Adams during the fourth quarter of that football game would have been highly entertaining, I imagine.
Let me tell you something. That was a roller coaster ride. And I'm in the press box, and people don't know. You got to be, I guess, somewhat professional in the press box. So I'm sitting there, you know, like statue, not, you know, basically fulfilling my obligation. But on the inside, I am up and down the entire way, because from the word go, and I don't necessarily, you know, advocate for live betting, but this was a live betting game where at the beginning of the game, you would have noticed Tennessee's getting big passing plays. They have not done that against Georgia in the Josh Heupel era. That was an indication this is going to be a different kind of Georgia-Tennessee game. It was. And so you're nervous about that, and then Georgia responds back offensively, then the tone-setting drive to begin the second half, but then Tennessee responds back to that. I can promise you, I was a basket case, roller coaster of emotions, but obviously ends up being one of the thrilling wins that Georgia's gotten, certainly in SEC play in quite some time.
What'd you learn from our quarterback?
I tell you this, I thought he stepped up, and look, still this is not the best quarterback in the country, nobody's going to say that he is, but he made the throws that he needed to make on Saturday. He's sure courageous, man. He took a couple of big shots, and he stood there and delivered. He's obviously willing to go, you know, try to get something with his legs too, which matters. You know, Georgia believed in Stockton, and Georgia wouldn't believe in a guy if not for good reason. That wasn't a guarantee of how he would play, but he certainly validated that belief on Saturday.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that was one of the hard parts about really analyzing the game was you hadn't seen it yet, but
yeah.
You have the track record of Kirby Smart believing in quarterbacks and having it work out. Was that, and obviously there's been plenty of Bobo discourse and the offense and all of that. Like, what of those narratives do you think was most sort of quieted with that win?
Well, I think it's the Stockton thing first and foremost, because what people had said about him was not factually inaccurate. You know, no one was saying, I hate Gunnar Stockton, he's a terrible person. They were saying he's not letting go of the football and throwing deep down the field. Well, that was true. You go back, watch the first two games against lesser competition, and he wasn't. But from the very first drive on Saturday, it's the deep one down the sideline to Colby Young. The throw to London Humphreys in the fourth down is about as pretty a throw as you're capable of making. It was also a nice catch by Humphreys, too. So Stockton did what he hadn't done. Listen, I think Bobo actually does this a lot. I know it's a tired topic, but I think Bobo has had a lot of successful game plans. I think he had one again on Saturday. I don't think he'll get credit for it. We'll be right back to the same old, right, the moment whatever happens. Mm-hmm. But so that narrative's never going away. But hopefully people now know that Gunnar is capable of doing what he did on Saturday. And obviously he's going to be called upon to do that in a lot of big games that Georgia still has left, including the 1-2 Saturdays from now.
How about the run game, B.A.? I mean, you look at it, it's 50-some rushes, only averaging less than 4 yards a carry, but it was the fact that you were able to run that many times.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought going into the game, a storyline that didn't get nearly enough attention was, what was Nate Frazier going to do? Because people have been so fixated on quarterback, they always are, that Frazier's need for emergence, I don't think he'd been paying enough attention to. And I didn't think he was particularly noisy as I'd like for him to be in those first couple of games. A little too quiet for me. I thought Nate Frazier had a good game. And, you know, listen, Josh McCray, who had the game-winning touchdown and another score, beginning of the year, he was buried on this depth chart. You know, it certainly sounds like coming off of illness, he was having a hard time getting, I guess, into the right shape for playing, and Georgia found a way to push that button with him on Saturday. The ground game is still going to be the catalyst that determines how far this team is going to go, and they did get it going on Saturday in a way that they really needed to.
Brandon Adams joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, host of the Dog Nation Daily Podcast, talking about the Tennessee win. Now, one thing that we hadn't seen in the Heupel era, even though they had really good offenses and they'd done that to a lot of different teams, was them doing that to Georgia. Do you think that that was more about this offense and this quarterback maybe being maybe a step above where they've been, or is this more about Georgia's defense kind of being maybe not what they've been?
Well, I'll say the thing about Tennessee first and then get to the – because I know you have Tennessee fans listening here too. I think that Aguilar is fine for Tennessee, and I thought that before the season began, that people made a big deal because Nico is famous, that somehow it was going to be a drop-off. But the win total for Tennessee post-Nico departure didn't really change. My outlook for Tennessee remained about the same. I still don't quite know how good they are, but they're clearly a dangerous team. They almost beat Georgia on Saturday. So I think that Tennessee with Joey Aguilar is fine. He's at least as good as they need him to be. I think the part for Georgia is Georgia is very much a part of the rest of college football right now in that no one is as dominant as they would have been. And frankly, that period from 2018 that included Clemson, Alabama, and continued through those two Georgia teams of 21-22, that's a little bit of an outlier for college football in general. We had a weird half decade where the very best teams were hoarding talent in a way that was unrecognizable the sport previous decades. So it could have been that was just a brief blip on the radar. Now your top title contenders are about 6-1 to win the title. That means everybody at the top is a little less deep than the very best teams would have been even as recently as, say, 3 years ago.
Where do you put them at in that pecking order? I mean, as far as Georgia, I think they're right there. You know, I don't think there's like this team is definite. I just think they're all right there in that little puddle.
I agree 100% with all of that. The Georgia part, they aren't definitely anything. I mean, they can still – I believe they'll still lose eventually. They may still lose twice as a Georgia fan. I hope it's not more than that. So I certainly am not making any grand proclamations after this game. But I am also – listen, as a fun conversation, I'll make one if you want me to. But in my heart, I don't know that I can make a grand proclamation about anybody right now. Mm-hmm. The SEC is deeper than it's ever been. Ohio State beat Texas, but that was mostly, I think, because Arch played badly. Not only do I not know much about Georgia, I really don't know who the best team in the country is, period, which I would say for those of us who obsess over college football, that probably does make it fun.
I think so. I mean, it's better when your team is the best, obviously, but if that can't be true, it's fun when your team's in the mix and everybody's pretty similar. No, I'm with you. It's hard to make a grand proclamation as far as the top end, right? Mm-hmm. I think there might be some proclamations you could make about teams that aren't in there.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, we've seen enough to kick some guys off the island, probably.
Who would be a team or two that was supposed to be there that maybe not now?
Well, I mean, look, based on where they were ranked to begin the season, you'd say that about Florida. They've lost twice. I know Notre Dame is still ranked after being 0-2. This is a team that played for the national title a year ago, but nobody paid enough attention to Al Golden leaving that team to go to the NFL. They are not the same defensively, so that's a team you could kick out. But in the SEC pecking order, obviously Clemson, you can disqualify them now, but in the SEC pecking order, man, I'm not that willing to eliminate too much of anybody right now. I mean, I think there are – are there 13 teams that can win this league right now? Because I think there probably are. I mean, it's close to that, right?
I mean, you could go as far down as – I mean, you still include Texas,
realistically
right?
speaking.
You still talk about Texas,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, realistically speaking, it's not 13, but record-wise –
oh,
I mean,
yeah, that's why I looked at you like that, huh?
Yeah, but I mean
– well, I mean, after that loss, I mean, the three teams at the bottom right now are South Carolina, Tennessee, and Florida. It wouldn't have shocked – I mean, maybe shocked a little bit, but those are all teams that got a lot of conversation coming into the year.
Right.
And those are the bottom dwellers right now. No, conference game.
And I'll say this right now about the depth of the SEC. Here's a conversation that's going to be had, is that last year we saw all the conference title game losers all still made the playoff because the committee was worried about the criticism of, well, you disqualified a team because it lost a 13th game. But the other side of that same coin is – the tiebreakers for what determines who plays the SEC title game right now currently are pretty nonsensical. They're just – I would describe them as not particularly competitive-based, but more just random numerical-based stuff. So I think the logjam that we could see in the SEC as we move towards November could get really complicated, and it could be frustrating for Georgia, or it could be frustrating for a lot of other teams too.
You think, like, because I want to get your opinion on Dabo. Is it more or less, you know, we were all just tricked because it was Dabo, and it was they had the percentage of most returning starters and all that stuff?
Yeah, so, I mean, and I got beat up a little bit for this before the season began because I said, why is Clemson ranked ahead of Georgia when Georgia beat Clemson 34-3, you know, last season? People are like, well, it's a brand new season. Well, guess what? History did not begin 5 minutes ago. I saw last year, Clemson lost arguably to the four best teams that played. It's really lost to the three best teams that played, and I'd probably put Louisville as the best ACC team that had played a year ago, lost to them as well. I think Dabo's a good coach. I think there's something actually commendable about sticking to your principles, which is what Dabo has done. But there is a staleness there where I think he's tired of what he hears from some Clemson fans. I think Clemson fans are tired of losing the kind of game that he lost on Saturday. And, I mean, Dabo doesn't have any plans on going anywhere. So how you mend that fence is tricky. But I would say there's a weird vibe around Clemson right now.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, we'll play. There's some pretty interesting Dabo audio from earlier today that we'll play on the show tomorrow. I'm sure Dukes and Bell will probably play it later today too. But it's weird when a program's fan base is tired of the legendary coach, right?
And it's not bad enough that you can be like, okay, he's got to go.
Right. They won the conference last year, but
I'll say this. I know we're up against it. This is why if I'm Shane Beamer, I would consider going to Virginia Tech.
No.
I said that yesterday. Randy tried to kick me off the show.
I'm telling you right now, it's not a better job. It's certainly not. It might be an easier job because South Carolina just lost to Vanderbilt. Now they got to play undefeated Missouri, and then there's another SEC behemoth waiting after that. Y'all, coaches get tired of the pressure. The fans get tired of the coach when he doesn't deliver the pressure, moving around every few years or at least threatening to kind of make sure it kind of stays fresh. I don't think that's a bad idea at all.
Reset the excitement a little bit.
I'm telling you, keep it.
Everybody loves new.
Okay.
Only thing people love more than new is actually legitimately great.
I understand. Right?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
But there's only like two of those.
Ain't no way in the hell I'm going to Blacksburg.
Is Blacksburg worse than Columbia? I don't know. I've never been to either.
Columbia's closer to the beach, which is what matters to me.
Yeah. Okay.
Blacksburg is not particularly close to the beach.
Okay. There you go. All right. Thank you, Brandon. We appreciate it. We'll come back. We'll get to the AMA. Phone lines are open, 404-726-0929. Call us up. Ask us anything. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.